Some of the nation's largest energy companies have recently agreed to meet voluntary standards as they employ the method of natural gas extraction known as hydraulic fracturing or fracking in the Northeast. In fracking, large amounts of water and chemicals are pumped underground to break up tight shale formations and release the oil or natural gas within. If drilling and pipeline companies abide by 15 measures to protect the air and water based on an independent review, they will receive the blessing of the new Pittsburgh-based Center for Sustainable Shale Development established by some environmental groups and the energy industry. Participants in the agreement include Shell, Chevron, EQT Corporation, Consol Energy, the Environmental Defense Fund, the Clean Air Task Force, and the Pennsylvania Environmental Council. Among the 15 standards in the agreement are limitations on gas flaring, maximizing water recycling, responsible wastewater disposal, and reducing the toxicity of fracking chemicals. One of the participating environmental groups, the Clean Air Task Force, applauded the agreement but said it's not a replacement for stricter state and federal regulations, which are currently lax enough to permit massive air and water pollution. But other environmental organizations are pursuing a ban on fracking and say collaborating with the industry is not the way to go. They cite growing public opposition to fracking, as seen in a March 20th Quinnipiac poll that found New York State voters oppose fracking by a 46-39% margin. Many of those surveyed said concern for the environment was more important than the promise of economic benefit. While New York State still maintains a moratorium on fracking, more than 6,000 wells have already been drilled in neighboring Pennsylvania. Between the Lines' Melinda Tuhus spoke with Seth Gladstone, the Northeast Regional Communications Manager for Food and Water Watch, who explains why his group supports a total ban on fracking.
The bottom line here is that fracking is a process that is inevitably dangerous and harmful to human health and our environment, and no set of regulations will make fracking safe or healthy or acceptable. When organizations that call themselves environmental organizations go in concert with the fossil fuel industry to create some consensus, it really does a disservice to all of the harmed, affected communities out there that are resisting fracking to the best of their ability and urging our leaders to put an end to it, to prevent it from happening where it's not happening and to shut it down where it is happening. Because, unfortunately, there's no set of regulations, there's no technology out there that will make this process safe. And it's naive to think otherwise. I think it's naive to think that working with this industry, this fossil fuel industry, to create something that can be acceptable to these communities on the ground, I think it's foolish to think that working with these corporations, these are the same corporations, by the way, that have used their political power to force exemptions to current fracking operations from things like the Clean Air Act, the Clean Water Act, the Healthy Drinking Water Act. These are federal regulations that are the cornerstones of our environmental protection, and the industry has succeeded in exempting itself from these regulations when it comes to fracking. And to think that they have our best interest in mind now is naive. We're talking about an inherently extreme and polluting process that blasts millions and millions of gallons of water and chemicals deep into the ground to crack rock and invade that ecosystem under the ground. This is inherently dangerous. It pollutes groundwater sources. It releases an awful lot of climate-changing methane into the atmosphere. And you have a number of connected consequences of this practice: truck traffic, industrialization of our rural landscapes, car accidents, a whole host of issues that arise when these large-scale industrial operations come into our rural communities.
But, Seth Gladstone, it is being done, especially in Pennsylvania. Do you see any advantage to making it safer as opposed to just outright opposing it?
Well, around the nation, we're seeing a growing movement to ban fracking. And the more folks learn about fracking, the more they're opposed to it. So we're not looking for stricter regulations. We're looking to grow the momentum around a ban movement. In places like New York State, for example, where this issue has been debated for a number of years, a steady consistent stream of polling now shows that a majority of New Yorkers are opposed to fracking. They do not want this in their state. And we're seeing this movement grow across the nation in places where fracking has occurred, in places where it has not occurred. We're seeing movements in fracking states to enact local bans, municipal bans. So we're seeing a real groundswell of energy towards making this practice a thing of the past. There's no reason to undercut that effort talking about regulations when more and more people every day want it banned.
I did a major story on fracking in 2011 and looked specifically at New York, where there was and still is a moratorium. At that time, some polls showed more opposition than support for fracking, while others were the reverse. Has that opposition consolidated since then?
Without a doubt. With regard to the polling specifically, there are two polls that occur regularly in New York State that are sort of seen as the most comprehensive and most well-respected polls in New York State. And that one is a Quinnipiac University poll, and the other is a Siena College poll. And both of those polls now are consistently showing growing opposition to fracking and, in fact, majority opposition to fracking now.
That was Seth Gladstone, Northeast Regional Communications Manager with the group Food and Water Watch. Find more information on fracking's impact on the environment by visiting our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.